Andy Burnham, the UK's latest Prime Minister, has suggested reducing the amount the British government gives as climate finance grants and providing some of its climate finance through loans instead, in a move it anticipates will save £400 million. The government plans to use the savings to fund a cap on bus fares in the UK, triggering accusations from the development sector that Burnham's proposal throws global South countries under the bus. One likely destination for these new loans is the Tropical Forest Forever Facility, TFFF. Andy Burnham, the UK's latest Prime Minister, has suggested reducing the amount the British government gives as climate finance grants and providing some of its climate finance through loans instead, in a move it anticipates will save £400 million. The government plans to use the savings to fund a cap on bus fares in the UK, triggering accusations from the development sector that Burnham's proposal throws global South countries under the bus. One likely destination for these new loans is the Tropical Forest Forever Facility, TFFF. The TFFF is a new initiative designed to provide payments to countries that protect their rainforests by raising money from governments and private investors, channeling that money into riskier and therefore higher return assets, and using the returns it earns to fund forest protection. But there is a catch. The UK has committed to provide around £6 billion in climate finance funded through aid or official development assistance, ODA, over the next 3 years. If switching from grants to a loan to the TFFF reduces government spending, it will likely reduce the amount that counts as ODA as well. In other words, the government can make the £400 million saving or meet its £6 billion aid budget-funded climate finance commitment, but it probably cannot do both. The UK cannot have its cake and eat it. How will it score as ODA? Whether any loan to the TFFF scores as ODA depends on the OECD's Development Assistance Committee, DAC, which is currently deliberating on this topic. A plain reading of the DAC's current reporting rules suggests that the TFFF would count as a multilateral organization. The independent investment arm, the Tropical Forest Investment Fund, would ultimately be a global, official entity, with sovereign governments appointing the board and being sole equity holders, which pools capital from sponsor governments. This would mean that to count as ODA, any loan to it would have to charge less than 5% interest. The current concept note suggests a return for sponsor capital equivalent to US borrowing costs of a similar duration, currently around 5.2%, which would make any such loans ineligible. The UK could choose to charge less, but if the UK charges less than it borrows, also above 5%, the difference will add to the deficit in future years. And ODA accounting is not binary. If the UK charges just under 5%, only a small fraction of the loan would count. At the same time, the risk profile of TFFF is not the same as your average multilateral, and there is speculation that the DAC could allow higher interest loans to TFFF to partially count by changing the discount rate used to measure how concessional the loan is. The TFFF's own modeling suggests that the risk of the UK losing money on the loan would be fairly limited, roughly a 1% chance of some capital impairment in the riskiest scenario. But some analysts doubt the accuracy of this model and view the risk as much greater. Would it really save money? If the risk really is higher, then it might justify counting more ODA on a loan to the TFFF, but it also undermines the arguments that this would create savings for the government. Loans generally don't count towards the deficit because they create an asset, but that only works if the loan is expected to be fully repaid. If there is a material risk of losing money, then at least some of the transaction will also count towards the deficit. One possibility is that the loan will be partitioned into a financial asset, the part which is expected to be repaid and wouldn't count towards the deficit, and a capital transfer, the part not expected to be repaid. The greater the risk, the larger that second component, and the bigger the impact on the deficit. This would be the ODA and public accounting rules working as intended. ODA is a measure of donor effort, usually taken to mean fiscal impact. If it counts as ODA, it should have an impact on the deficit. And the fiscal treatment itself is governed by numerous international accounting standards, a key purpose of which is preventing politically motivated obfuscation of how governments spend their money. If it costs money, there should be an impact on the deficit, even if it is a loan. If it doesn't, it shouldn't count as ODA, even if there have been exceptions in the past. We still know too little about the details to be sure how a loan to the TFFF, or a more exotic transaction, would count towards either ODA or the UK's headline measures of debt and deficit. The key parameter for each is risk. The lower risk, the more likely it is that the transaction will save money, but the greater the chance that the government would have to spend more ODA elsewhere to meet its climate finance target. If the UK believes in the TFFF business model and wants to preserve tropical forests, then it should invest. But this decision should not be driven by optimistic accounting tricks. The government cannot expect to reduce the real value of climate finance to partner countries by giving less in grant money, without this having an impact on commitments to spend that money. Our unprecedented reporting provides experts and professionals globally with the analysis and insight they need to navigate the most important climate issues. Trusted by the UN, World Bank, and governments around the world, sign up today and see why our award-winning coverage has been considered the authority for almost 15 years. Essential. £0. A few top stories each week, alongside our Climate Weekly newsletter. While many countries remain locked in a reactive cycle of disaster response, public policy can shift investment upstream to build resilience and cut risks. As governments look towards COP31, India must push not only for more adaptation finance, but for funds to arrive in time for projects that limit disasters like Assam's floods. The government is restricting nickel production to push up prices, but producing more sustainable nickel for a premium requires addressing the industry's coal issue. Civil society wants a mechanism to be launched at COP31, but insists it must be more than a talking shop and include different social groups and a wide view of transition. While many countries remain locked in a reactive cycle of disaster response, public policy can shift investment upstream to build resilience and cut risks. As governments look towards COP31, India must push not only for more adaptation finance, but for funds to arrive in time for projects that limit disasters like Assam's floods. Pacific leaders will launch the first call for proposals next week for a new regional fund designed to swiftly channel climate finance to local communities. A new bill prevents corporations being sued for the climate damage their emissions cause, as the government says climate action should be handled at the national level, not in court. 15 years covering the climate decisions that matter. Create a free account to join the community of readers, diplomats, negotiators, and campaigners who rely on Climate Home News. To provide the best experiences, we use technologies like cookies to store and/or access device information. Consenting to these technologies will allow us to process data such as browsing behavior or unique IDs on the site. Not consenting or withdrawing consent may adversely affect certain features and functions. Functional. Always active. The technical storage or access is strictly necessary for the legitimate purpose of enabling the use of a specific service explicitly requested by the subscriber or user, or for the sole purpose of carrying out the transmission of a communication over an electronic communications network. Preferences. The technical storage or access is necessary for the legitimate purpose of storing preferences that are not requested by the subscriber or user. Statistics. The technical storage or access that is used exclusively for statistical purposes. The technical storage or access that is used exclusively for anonymous statistical purposes. Without a subpoena, voluntary compliance on the part of your internet service provider, or additional records from a third party, information stored or retrieved for this purpose alone cannot usually be used to identify you. Marketing. The technical storage or access is required to create user profiles to send advertising, or to track the user on a website or across several websites for similar marketing purposes.